From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A live look at the construction inside Everbank Field. This is the West U.S. Assure Club improvements. At least it will be the U.S. Assure Club when it's complete by the start of the preseason. We welcome you inside. If we stand up, we might be able to wave through you to you through the big hole in Everbank Field. Welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio. J.P. Shadrick with you. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Plenty to get to today. Here's what's up on the show today. Pro Day's winding down. We'll recap the Florida State Pro Day happening earlier this week. Greg Cosell of NFL Films will join us over the phone. We'll talk draft. We'll talk some prospects. A couple of the Jaguars free agent additions as well. And we're a month away from the first round of the NFL draft. And we welcome in John Osier, Brian Sexton. We'll get to Greg Cosell coming up. What's up, guys? How we doing?
Almost, 29 days away, right? Isn't that what the number is now?
The clock Wednesday? Is ticking,
yeah,
yes.
It sneaks up fast. It seems to be approaching faster this year than before. Maybe I haven't paid enough attention to it or haven't gotten involved in the day-to-day push and pull, but it's coming up.
It is.
And you're going to be there.
I am. It's depressing to me that I got to wait 30 days to get good Chicago pizza. I thought, you know, might be coming quicker than that. But I'm excited to go. It really, Chicago did a masterful job with it last year and turned Grant Park into, you know, an NFL theme park. And Grant Park, if you've been there, is huge. Mm-hmm. So I'm eager to see how they do, you know, version 2.0 with the draft.
We'll break this down as we go on in the show a little bit. We'll get to the Florida State Pro Day coming up. But initial thoughts on Ramsey. I know you love the guy. Right?
Well, what wasn't love yesterday?
Hold on. I got my notes from yesterday. He's good. I mean, and he jumped out. And I've been to, I don't know how many Pro Days, 30, 40 over the years. Fred Taylor when he ran the 40. Kevin Carter when he ran the 40 to go way, way back. Jumped out and were memorable. His individual performance was just as memorable.
Last year, the performance that stood out was Mario Williams. Leonard Williams. And to watch him just physically abuse those huge bags out in Southern Cal and move them like other guys couldn't. He was the best player on the field, and I still believe he will be the best player from that draft. Watching Ramsey yesterday, I had the same reaction. Mm-hmm. Here was a guy who physically could do things that other guys can't do, and he has the length, the speed, the quickness, and the awareness to be able, when he's playing at his best, to be the best.
Let's get another thought about it. We go to the phone line. Welcome in our guest today, the pride of Amherst College, Greg Cosell. What's up, Greg?
You got that right, JP. Amherst College, that's the place.
What's your opinion on Ramsey? We were just talking about Ramsey briefly here. Had his pro day, Florida State pro day earlier this week. What do you take away? Is he the best guy out there?
To me, he's not necessarily the best all-around player that I've seen on tape. And I shouldn't say player, I should say prospect, because I just don't like it the way people talk about these guys as if they're Hall of Famers when they've never played a down in the NFL. He's a really good prospect. The question I would have is, if he's a corner, okay, let's say you believe you're going to draft him and he's a Patrick Peterson-type corner. Are you moving him around? Or if he's that good a corner, isn't he playing corner?
That's a good question, for sure. Because if he's drafted,
because you hear with players like Ramsey, you hear with players like Miles Jack, they fit the modern game because they can do a lot of things, which I always find to be one of those statements that people throw out there, and then most people go, hey, yeah, that's right. But then you have to think about what that means. So let's say you draft Jalen Ramsey and you start your OTAs. Is he going to be practicing at corner on Tuesday, safety at Wednesday, and slot corner on Thursday? Or is he going to be practicing at one position because he needs to learn one position at the NFL level?
Well, for the Jaguars, he looks like safety. I mean, he looks like this big guy in the middle of the field who can run and jump, get up to the highest point, take the ball away, covered a lot of ground. You know, he said he wanted to play corner. That was what he was talking about yesterday. And, you know, obviously no one from the Jaguar staff has said what position he would play. But I kept thinking that if you put him down in the Jaguars secondary right now, he's the best athlete back there. Biggest, longest, best looking prospect back there.
Yeah, no, I think if the Jaguars would have drafted him, I think he'd be a corner. Because I don't think he's going to play safety for Jacksonville. I think he's going to play. And I think, by the way, that he can play corner a quality corner in the NFL. He's got the traits you look for. He's got size, speed. He's got athleticism. He's a very good corner prospect. But I think if you believe he's a big-time NFL corner, since that's such a premium position, I think that's where he stays. You know, people talk about him being different, let's say, than a better Tyrann Mathieu because he's a bigger guy. But I think, you know, Matthew's on a team that has Patrick Peterson playing corner. You know, I think if you draft Jalen Ramsey and you're Jacksonville, he's lining up at corner. They have two safeties. He's going to play corner.
You mentioned that you don't think he's necessarily the best prospect. I guess go over the top two or three guys, Greg, and how do you see this top five breaking down?
Well, the guy who I believe is the best prospect is not going to be drafted in the top five because he got injured, and that's Jalen Smith. To me, of the guys I've watched on tape, and I've watched probably 150 guys, to me, he's the best prospect in this draft class, but you know, no one knows about the injury. So he's certainly not going to get drafted in the top five. You know, I really like Carson Wentz. I love his traits as a quarterback. So, you know, I think he's clearly given the importance of the position and the type of player that he is and the traits that he has. He's clearly a top pick for me. Beyond that, then you get into team. I mean, Miles Jack is very similar as well in the sense that if you draft Miles Jack, what is he? Because you have to line a guy up in your base defense. Every team has a base defense. And when they put together their base defense, someone plays a position. You know, he doesn't play a linebacker in your base defense today and safety in your base defense tomorrow and slot corner in your base defense the next day. You know, you have a base defense and he plays a position. So, Miles Jack will be interesting because I think some people will see him as an outside linebacker and some people will see him as a safety.
Can he play strong side, Greg? Or is he that
Miles
kind?
Jack?
Yeah.
He certainly can play it as far as the coverage. The thing that separates him is he has rare coverage ability. I mean, he did play over the slot at UCLA. And again, now you have to ask yourself that question. He did a good job playing the slot in college. How do you feel about him playing the slot matching up man-to-man to an Emmanuel Sanders? You know, you may feel good about that, but that's a question teams will have to ask themselves if they really believe they can line him up on the slot. I keep reading that, oh, he can play corner in the NFL. He's not going to play Julio Jones. That, you know, right. I think people have to step back a little bit and realize, you know, it's a different the NFL is a different environment and a different game than the college game. He's not going to line up on the outside and play against, you know, the Julio Joneses of the world. That's not going to happen.
Greg Cosell is with us from NFL Films. You mentioned Carson Wentz. Is he good enough for a team to try to trade up into the top five? And how could that shake up the top five in this draft?
Well, I know my good buddy Chris Collinsworth believes that when all said and done, that Goff and Wentz, or Wentz and Goff, whatever your preference, are going to go 1 and 2, that there's going to be trades because they're clearly viewed as the two best, and I think that's very fair. That quarterbacks get drafted and teams want quarterbacks. So I think that, I don't think Wentz is going to get past two. If there's no trades, I don't think Wentz, I would sense that Cleveland might take Wentz. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like him as a prospect better than Goff, but I like Goff as well. But I just think Wentz has more traits that you ideally look for.
Greg, you started with your top five, and I heard Wentz and then Miles Jack. Who are the other three? If you're looking at the top five prospects,
that, you guys, I hate to do this to you, but I don't do lists like that. You know, so I don't really do that. So I don't think in those terms because, see, to me, everything is so team and scheme specific. When I look at players, I'm trying to transition them to the league. So you know, I don't think in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because every team sees things differently. I mean, look, if you're, you know, Gus Bradley, perhaps, if you're Dan Quinn or you're Pete Carroll, you could look at Miles Jack and see him as the perfect Cam Chancellor safety for your team. You know, if you're another team and you see him purely as an outside linebacker, I don't know, maybe he's not a top five pick. You know, if he's an outside linebacker and that's the way you see him, then he may not be a whole lot different than Shaq Thompson, who came out of Washington a year ago and played for Carolina. So that's why it's very difficult for me to sit here and go, he's number number one. He's number two. He's number three, because I just think there's too many variables.
All right, well, let me ask it a different way then, Greg. How many impact defensive players, I mean, guys who put their hand on the ground and are, not necessarily on the ground, but guys who get on the field as rookies and make an impact in a defense? Are there three? Are there five? Are there seven? Do you see those?
Well, let me ask you this. You guys just signed Malik Jackson for a few dollars.
Right.
Is he an impact defensive player?
Yes.
If Malik Jackson, as you know him right now, where would he be in this draft? You know, he was about, if I'm not mistaken, a fourth round pick.
Fifth.
Because he came out when it was viewed that he was not quick enough to be a D end and not big enough to be a D tackle. And now the game has evolved to the point where sort of the hybrid D end D tackle, like Jackson, like Michael Bennett in Seattle, has become a very valuable player. So is Malik Jackson, if he was in this draft right now, that skill set, is that guy a top five pick?
I would guess probably not. If he had been proven, probably late top, I mean, I'd say late top 10.
Because I think Joey Bosa has a chance to be that kind of player.
Gotcha.
Okay, now, I don't think Bosa is a dynamic edge rusher, and nor is Malik Jackson. So, you know, people, the knock on Bosa is, well, you shouldn't draft him in the top five because he's not an explosive edge rusher. And he's not. But if he's that guy, and my sense is he has a chance to be that guy, then wouldn't that be pretty valuable for a team?
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Greg, we've talked to you in the past about Bortles. Obviously, the quarterback of the franchise is a huge deal. What have you seen from him as far as development, and sort of where would you assess him after a couple of years?
Well, I think he improved significantly from his rookie year to his second year, which you would expect, which the organization would expect. That's why they drafted him number three. I like the way he plays. I think he's got an aggressive mindset. I like the fact that he's willing to turn it loose. He may always be a quarterback that throws a couple of picks that you scratch your head, because I think he's willing to turn it loose. And I think he makes a lot of really good throws because of that, because he's not a safety-first, risk-free quarterback. And I think in the NFL, your quarterback needs to be willing to make difficult throws. I think they probably got an awful lot more out of Allen Robinson than they might have expected. He caught a ton of 50-50 balls, and Bortles clearly got very comfortable throwing it to him when he was the single receiver, ex-ISO as we say. Mm-hmm. And I think that Bortles felt very comfortable throwing it up to Allen Robinson. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, Matthew Stafford did that for a number of years with Calvin Johnson. So that's okay. But I like the way Bortles has developed, and I like the way he plays.
Greg Cosell with us from NFL Films, the additions in free agency on defense. In your opinion, is this a team ready to contend in the division?
Well, there's no question they believe so. I don't think these moves were made to be 7-9. I think these moves were made with a sense that with an improving Bortles and the additions on defense, and let's not discount Chris Ivory, I think that they believe now that this is in that division that they could win 10, 11 games. And by the way, a player, and not just because you signed him, but I've talked about him for a number of years, that I really liked is Tayshaun Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have sort of your classic free safety, strong safety situation now. You know, Gus Bradley obviously did come from Seattle, whether he puts now Cyprian kind of in the Cam Chancellor role and Gibson essentially the Earl Thomas role. I think Gibson is a really good free safety.
How much can that help a guy, Greg? I mean, in reference to Cyprian, to have a guy next to him who's playing a clear role and it allows him to play a clear role, can that be a huge difference for a player?
Yeah, and I think when all said and done, I think most people saw Cyprian that way coming out of college. I think he moves well, but I don't think he's truly a back-end safety. I think if you need to put him there, he can do it, but I think his game is really playing, you know, down closer to the line of scrimmage, and now if he can do that far more, you know, exclusively, so to speak, and really be that underneath zone defender, match up to some tight ends here and there, I think that's where he can thrive.
Greg, we have 1 month until the NFL draft. Are you ready?
I'm just sitting here grinding away watching tape, guys, so it's a whole nother month to go.
Yeah, ready or not, it'll be here soon. We appreciate your time away from the film room today, and good luck to you, Greg. Thanks.
Guys, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Greg Cosell,
thanks, as always,
from NFL Films joining us. Get your tickets for 2016. Houston and Tennessee at home in the division. The world champs are here. Green Bay, Minnesota, Oakland, to name a few. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets.
Greg, you know what, Brian? He's not going to do your list.
Well,
he's not going there for you.
Yeah, but I wanted to know who, you know, he started with that, and I get it. So, I mean, he's obviously a very analytical football guy, and he does things more like general managers do. Because you see every year there's a player that shoots up the board or falls down the board because teams see him differently than those of us who watch football for a living do. But I want to know who the best defensive player in the draft is, right? It seems like he thinks that Ramsey is a really good player. Well, if not, who's the best? He kind of told us where he thought Bosa was. And he seems to think Jack, like Ramsey, is it's going to be kind of an opinion in how a guy plays.
Well, I think his point was it's so important. You know, if you take one of those guys and he's not used the way he would ideally be used, then that equation could change. I think that was, again, as you say, he looks at it like a general manager. If you take a guy and he's not the right fit or you don't use him correctly, then it would change that equation.
Here's the other side of it. I want to know who the players are that you put out on day one. Malik Jackson was a fifth-round pick, and he wasn't Malik Jackson in his rookie or even his second season. I mean, we saw him in 2012, and he had a big day against a bad team. Right?
That was a breakout game.
Absolutely. Yes. So he wasn't that guy right away. Who are the guys that are going to step out onto the field right away and make an impact and be who they are? I mean, we've seen it around here before. Brackens and Hardy are two guys. You know, John Henderson is another guy who came in. Marcus Stroud was not. Marcus Stroud took a year before he could get into the lineup. I kind of look at it as, who are the guys? You know, there's people, Vic used to say, you could have a 15-player first round, right? And then after that, it kind of drops off, and the grades are all the same down into the high part of the second round. Where does it end? Who are the best defensive players out there? I'm really looking to figure that out over the next month.
Let's get to some questions from social media today for you guys. Y'all ready for these?
Sure. Oh. Are we?
Are you? Are you? Let's start with Chase asking, Ramsey, Bosa, and Jack are all off the board at number five. Who do you pick if you don't trade down?
Well, that's a tough one because those are the three that everybody wants. And I think right now you're sort of thinking, is Shaq Lawson a guy who's playing his way into that? I keep throwing out the name. DeForest Buckner, which I don't like at that spot because it seems like they've already got those guys. Is Hargreaves a guy that makes sense there? Maybe, but I kind of think it would be a Shaq Lawson type, edge rusher type, if they get into that situation, but that would be a dilemma.
You're right, it would be a dilemma, but I'll stick with the way I've been since I joined you guys, and that is if Buckner's the best player and can play in a 4-3, I'll take him. I mean, I want a guy, and he's got rare physical ability. I want him. If that's what I've got, I mean, I don't want to reach and bring a Lawson up and adjust my grades. Now, if Lawson is the highest-rated guy on the board, well, then I take him. I saw Hargreaves at UF. I was very impressed. But I don't know how they were, you know, they see him. But if he's the highest-rated guy on the board, I take him. What if Laremy Tunsil's the highest-rated guy on the board? What do you do? Mm. That makes it even even more interesting, because all the people that we talked to yesterday in Tallahassee were talking about how sensational he was on his pro day there, too. Rare athlete, really long arms. Boy, that's a good combination. We've seen that before. So
can't see it being that, but that certainly raises, you know.
He's there, you can trade. Somebody will come get him.
Yep.
If Tunsil is there, you can trade back. If Tunsil is the fourth player taken ahead of you and the quarterback stuff is all just a bunch of smoke signals, well, then you stay there and you take the guy, the best defensive player on the board.
My guess is somebody is going to trade past them for a quarterback that makes sense, where we're not talking about this on draft night, but we'll see.
Sneddon asking, will the Jaguars' draft strategy be position of need or best player available? I think we just kind of discussed that a little bit with the immense amount of offseason signing, he adds in there.
Well, you know,
and we've had this discussion before.
I don't believe that you ever actually, as ideal as it is and as perfect as it is in a vacuum, I don't believe you ever actually in the top five are truly taking best available player without any regard to need. Because that was the case, you take the best quarterback, you're not going to do that. So
I always offer that as the one exception to my rule.
Well,
if you've got a quarterback, you don't take a quarterback.
Right.
But you trade back.
For the most part, realistically, it's a need-value axis that you play both in consideration. So I don't think I just don't believe it's always, it's just need, it's just best available player. It's some combination of the two.
And I obviously differ from that. And I've seen it go both ways. I mean, around here, I've seen it go both ways, too. I got lots of hits on Twitter yesterday about, well, okay, now they've signed Gibson and they signed Prince of Mukamara. You can't take Ramsey. You have to take Jack. Okay, well, that's the need strategy right there, right? And I haven't seen Jack. He may be just as impressive in person to take. But with all due respect to all the professional athletes down there, Ramsey's the best physical specimen, better than all the guys down there in terms of what he is as a prospect, right? Bigger, stronger, longer, faster, all that. When do I need that? Amukamara's on a one-year contract. I'm not sure what Cyprian's going to be long-term. Gibson says he can play corner occasionally, too. Maybe Aaron Colvin steps back outside. You just don't know who gets hurt, right? That's why I believe so strongly in the best available player, unless it's a quarterback. Who doesn't need that guy? If Jack's the guy, take him. But I don't let the moves that I executed in free agency dictate what I have to do in the draft, which is why I go best available player.
Nathan Vining asking, how do you think the Jags will do on offense this season? That's we kind of forget about that, right?
Well, I've been saying for the past month or so, they need to get better offensively. And that sort of gets lost because they put up so many numbers and it was so much better than it had been. But they need to get more efficient and they need to run the ball better. And Blake Bortles needs to be a more efficient quarterback and they need to convert third downs better. Remember, at the end of last season, there were long stretches. Everybody talks about the huge game they had against the Colts. In the first half of the game, they were ineffective for a long time. They need to cut out those stretches of ineffectiveness where they get down too much. And that really happened a lot late last season. So I think they'll be better. I think they're going to be better on the interior of the offensive line. I think they're going to run the ball better. But they absolutely need to, because this offense, as good as it was not yet what you would think of as a winning elite offense. They took a huge step toward that.
You know, standing on the sidelines this year like I did, I really paid attention to the mechanics that Bortles has when he's executing play action. He's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good at the fake he executes is excellent. He hides the ball well. And yet the Jaguars' running game was not strong enough last year for him to be his best as a play action quarterback. And John hit on it. You got to be able to run the ball. Talk about converting on third down. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but they weren't very good in yards on first down, which put them in third and long, which made third down a poor number. If you can run the ball, you can be very effective on first down. So the running game's got to be there. I'm anxious to see what the addition of Beecham is, you know, along with Chris Ivory. Can they run the ball when they want to?
The short passing game needs to improve on that level, too, because in this league right now, you can get by without dominant run if you can pass effectively short. Running's more important, but they've got to get a little more efficient on the non-big play throws.
I get it. I'm the caveman offensively in here.
No, you've got to, they have to run. But if you don't have either,
no, I agree.
If you're not a very effective short passing and you're not running, then it's very hard to be efficient. You're hitting these big chunk plays, which they were great at, but it doesn't lead to efficiency.
You've got to be able to do that. Yeah, what was it Bear Bryant once said? You know, I don't practice blocking. Yeah, right? Pass blocking, and why do I want to practice when my guy's first step is backwards? I just want to see this offensive line in Ivory be able to push guys off the line of scrimmage, and I think, to me, that will set up Bortles to be, as whatever you want him to throw the ball, more effective.
Let's play a game we call
This or That. This or That.
This or That today. The question, can the Jags afford to bypass a pass rusher or linebacker to select a defensive back at number 5? It's the general topic of the day.
Well, you know, I'll lean a little bit toward Brian said, you can't afford it. If you don't think the guy is worth the pick and there's another player who is worth the pick, then you can't afford it.
Right.
The reality is usually it's close enough that you can take a guy who you believe has need there. So, yeah, if it's the right guy, they can. But that's going to be up to them to figure out what the right guy. If Bosa is there at 5, I think they have a tough time passing on him because the general belief within the league is this guy can be an impact player for you. So I think they have a tough time passing on it if he's there. If it's Shaq Lawson and you think he's below Ramsey, Jack sitting there, then no, you can't.
The genesis of the question obviously was the Ramsey stuff. You know, getting it yesterday about people saying, look, you just can't afford him because you signed Gibson and you signed Amukamara.
But Amukamara can play on a one-year. You don't make a decision based on one year.
And that's what I'm trying to say is that if you look at that and his grade is higher, again, I've not seen Miles Jack in person, right? Maybe he's equally impressive, and if that's the case, well, you know, then you get to choose which one do I need more if the grade is equal. But if Ramsey's the best prospect, to use Greg Cosell's word, in this draft, I take him, and I don't care what I've got in the back end because I don't have anyone that is as good as he potentially can be. Got a lot of good players, but I put him down there, and he makes me better. I'll take that.
We're a month away from the NFL draft. There will be a draft party. It will be at Everbank Field on the 28th, a Thursday night. No more details other than that, but stay on Jaguars.com for the latest. That's coming up in the next couple of weeks. The details should come out for the draft party. Also, happy birthday to Dave DeCandis, one of our producers here on Jaguars.com. How old is he today? I don't even know.
Old.
Like he's old enough that you know what he told me he wants for his birthday? Barbecue. Wants to celebrate barbecue. Wants to go home and spend time with his beautiful baby daughter and his wife eating barbecue.
Yeah, he wanted barbecue when he was 22.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That never changed.
Predictability.
That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for watching. For John Osier, Brian Sexton, our thanks to Greg Cosell. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.